We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Final hour of the week for us here on Cody and Gold. We'll head out to Arrowhead here in the next minute or two. As soon as they are good to go, you'll hear from Andy Reid, also Kelechi Osemele, who we've talked plenty about this week. KO now. Just, we went from not being talked about to
he's
now just KO.
Bienemy's one, Patrick Mahomes competitive prick. Two,
that's right,
Kelechi Osemele.
Uh-huh.
So there's two official competitive pricks somebody on
else,
the Chiefs offense.
Somebody else getting added
waiting
later
waiting to
on.
Find out who might get spot number three. Don't know how you get a writer or radio spot for that, but I'll work on that with Ole EB.
So KO and Mike Dana going to talk as well. So we'll head out to Arrowhead as soon as they are good to go here on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. We're also going to welcome in Ben Heisler here in about 20 minutes or so. Well, Heist versus Gold.
How'd that go?
Well, we'll find out.
How'd that go last week?
Last week against the spread. I do know how not against the spread win. Still, you could, by the way, if you didn't get your picks in, radio.com/picks, each week, even if you didn't get week one and you feel like you don't have a shot at the grand prize, which is false, you still do, the Rocket Mortgage Pro Football Pick'em, radio.com/picks. You pick the games straight up, no spread even on that, and you have a chance each week to win $1,000. It's really simple. And you can try to beat me in that as well.
I don't know why everyone hasn't signed up for that. It's easy.
Easy money.
And you don't even have to pick against the spread. You just make picks.
Yeah.
That's it. Someone won $1,000 last week. Yeah. Gold, you were one of the top two radio.com guys.
Yeah, trying to represent the station well, man.
Appreciate that.
KC representing along with Pittsburgh. Tied for first last week on that.
But still, yeah, a lot of $1,000 on the line each week. But you said big, big prize at the end. And there's plenty of time to catch up. You just got to have a couple of perfect weeks. Trust me, you win a G a couple of times in this thing, you're going to have a shot at that big grand prize at the end.
No question. Yes, be sure to do that. Even if you missed last night, I want to say you can still get in. I think it counts as an L for the one pick, but I believe you can still get in for this week. So, yeah, definitely want to do that. If you remember our
everybody misses a couple of weeks. Just get the rest
right. Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of people that had, I was looking through, that had Cincinnati last night winning. Fortunately, I did not. Fortunately, obviously, it was going with Cleveland. Our survivor picks and all that, we gave those out yesterday, as we do each and every Thursday at 12:30. Cody, you remind everybody you're going with the Bucks.
Bucks.
Okay. You'll be rooting hard for Tom
going
Brady.
49.
You feel dirty with that one? Just as dirty as I did rooting for the Raiders, I feel
maybe
like.
Maybe a little, but I mean, honestly, it's the Panthers. Godwin was back at practice today, Gold. Am I really supposed to be concerned? I know Carrington was coming in here flexing some belt he picked up, bragging about the fact that he gets to just relax all weekend, which you do too, by the way, so I'm a little extra confused about why he come into this show in particular to brag. You know how, like, you think he's braggadocious now. Like, yours is just like a mild version of that. Much, much milder version of that. But if the Packers or something go down over the weekend,
I hope
or
that
my team loses.
Oh, man.
Like, if somebody's team, the Packers have the most, like, chips in the pot. But if one of those teams goes down, we're going to have a whole big thing. Quickly, before we head out to Andy Reid, who you said to your life in the pudding, there's a little breaking news out of the Big 12. The Baylor and Houston game has now reportedly been postponed. That's the 15th game that has been postponed in the first 3 weeks of the season overall, so about five per week between the SEC, Big 10, and Pac-12. That is now the second MAC and MWC, but that's the second time that game's been postponed. Which means Baylor won't even open their season until they play Kansas next week. That's a bit of a weird start for them. Look, they're not going to have any trouble because they didn't get their warm-up game against Houston they take on Kansas. Kansas is the default warm-up game. Between that and the fact that the AP is not even going to let Big Ten schools in their top 25, is Coastal Carolina in the AP top 25? there aren't that many teams.
Correct. Coastal Carolina has their second game of the year tonight against Campbell. They're like 26.
They get to 2-0.
They're like 26.5-point favorites, so they're going to be 2-0. I don't. Louisiana, isn't Louisiana in the top 25 or will be after being Iowa State? And that was a top 25 win for Louisiana. So Iowa State. So there's not many teams playing the Big Ten.
It's going to be kind of cool for some of those small schools who would never get a chance to get representation very often in the top 25 of the college football polls. But if you, I mean, there aren't that many college football teams playing. If you remember before the Big Ten and those joined back, it was like 60 schools, less than 60 schools total. So if you won in week one, how are you not top 25? It's like, what? Why haven't you done
that? You have that opportunity, no question. Last night, Bing Coast rushed the field, which he does during the college football season. He has, John Kurtz on to talk K-State. He had Gary Pinkel on, former Mizzou head coach, to talk Mizzou. And I was on to talk Kansas a little bit. And he was talking to Gary Pinkel a little bit and asked Pinkel if he agrees that the playoff should this year, not all the time, but this year be expanded. And Gary Pinkel agreed. They didn't, set the exact number, but this year, because of the less, the fewer games that are going to be played by each school. And then even if you're the Big Ten, eventually maybe the Pac-12, and you're going to have a shortened schedule and all this and games being rescheduled like this Baylor team against Houston this weekend. Is there an opportunity here for the college football playoff to go with a kind of a trial run and expand it from 4 to 8, just because you're not going to know enough about teams by the time you get to December and November, when the rankings start, the ones that matter, sure, start coming out? Because the AP poll, I told you, I couldn't care less about the AP poll. It doesn't mean anything whatsoever. But the college football playoff rankings, those people are the same people making those decisions.
I would think so. I mean, and again, that's what's going to make it so hard for those schools. Like, the fact that the Big Ten can't even be included in the AP poll yet. Now, when they get a win under their belt, they can.
Yeah, I'm fine with them not
being
included.
And they're not the only schools who will have a chance to get booted, right? Not the only chance who have a chance to miss games. Like I told you, the Big Ten's threshold for that is much less. But at this point, Baylor is going to start, 3 weeks ahead of the Big Ten?
Yeah, September 26th instead of
October 23rd. If they don't have another game canceled, they've already had two canceled. Like, I mean, so it's a head start, but it's not as big of a head start. They still do have a really big issue overall in trying to make those things fit. It's going to be kind of a fascinating college football year. I'm not saying, like, they've actually done a pretty good job other than that Wisconsin report that they had 42 players test positive. And I still think a lot of that could come down to the idea that they, found out their season got canceled, dialed it back, and then were like, well, whatever, what's the point? And then moved on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I could still see a world in which that exists. And so I don't put too much stock into it, but it's going to be harder to police. And you know that. You've seen the videos of people on college campuses, haven't you? Partying at frat houses. I mean, it's just going to be a more difficult thing
to
monitor.
College kids are
going to
be college kids.
It's going to be the weirdest year. I kind of hope that they do expand the college football playoff this one year. If baseball can expand it for one year. If the NFL can expand it. Now, they're going to do it going forward. Their problem is they know it's the same thing. If you go from 4 college football playoff teams this year to 8, guess what? They're never going to want to go back to 4 because they'll get a taste
I'm
for
fine
8.
With, I mean,
I think it should be 16.
How I am about an expansion of play. I'm fine with it all the way around for the most part.
To sport for me. In college football, if they did it to 16, it'd be fine because that's not a ton of college football teams. I understand, like, in baseball, we're talking about a very similar thing. But also in college football, sometimes teams play between, like, 11 and 13 games. So you can have a slip up and get kicked out, or just not be a part of a big conference and get kicked out. I want the chance, a lot like the college basketball tournament, to give these teams an actual opportunity to make those adjustments and actually do something with it.
So it looks like now there'll be 9 games, if I'm not mistaken, involving top 25 teams this weekend after the postponement. So there's a few more college games than just that, but there was supposed to be the Houston game tonight, Houston and Memphis game, I should say. And then, that one was already postponed, and then, as we mentioned, the other alterations involving Baylor. But if you want to watch any Big 12 football, there still is Oklahoma State in action this weekend. But the Houston Baylor game was supposed to be at 11 o'clock on that. And this is weird. I guess they haven't updated their schedule because it shows Houston Memphis postponed, and it also shows Houston Baylor postponed. So
sure,
the schedules, everything's been pushed back. Do they ever make those games up? I doubt it.
There's not a lot of wiggle room in the Big 12 schedule. So probably not. I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room. There's none in the Big Ten schedule. And presumably, when the Pac-12 is scheduled to meet today, if they decide at an early December start, which was apparently reported, they're even further back. Goal, what good does it do you to start in December if everyone else is going? Oh, Pac-12. Just don't play football or do now. So those are really the choices you have there.
So that's where college football is at right now. And again, we're waiting to head out to Arrowhead and hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, also Colegio Simile. And actually, Andy Reid, he's at the podium now. Let's head right out there.
Yeah. We're ready.
Grab my paper here real quick. All right. As far as the injuries go, Okafor, Saunders, and Ward will be listed as out here in a minute, and so you'll have that. Other than that, our guys have they've had a good week of practice, and I know they look forward to the challenge of playing a good Chargers team. It's always, you know, a heck of a game. So we'll get ourselves ready to go out to Los Angeles and play them tomorrow. So we'll travel tomorrow, that is. All right, time's yours.
Let's go first to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach. Kind of a ridiculous question for you, but today is National Cheeseburger Day. Any plans to celebrate?
Listen, I hope everybody enjoys it. And Darren, you could put an extra slice of cheese on yours, man. Put a smile on your face.
Let's go next to Darren. Go ahead, Darren.
Coach, I don't even know where to go with that one, but I will do that just for you today. Just curious, because I'll let Sterling ask the hard question on this one, but you all are going to be christening the SoFi Stadium with the Chargers and, of course, later on in the season with the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. Is there a particular city that you enjoy traveling to when you coach, you know, when you look at the schedule and you get a chance to see, okay, well, I'm going to enjoy some extra time there. Is there a particular city that stands out for you?
Yeah, well, normally we get in and, you know, we get out. And even if it's someplace where I grew up, like Los Angeles, I normally just get in and do my thing. And it's all about the game. So we don't get out very much at all. So, and I don't get out at all. That's how I normally go. So, but listen, I don't mind going there and I don't mind going to the other places. It's just that's where I'm in lockdown once I'm out there.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Coach, Patrick Mahomes, you know, there was a lot of conversation early in the week about how, you know, he was and last week after the game about how he was, you know, just taking what was given to him and you know, going with the football where he needed to go. Is that beyond his years, right, kind of maturity? Is that something that usually takes longer? Is it something that – you think the fact that he's got a Super Bowl MVP and an MVP, I mean, he's kind of checked so many boxes so fast that maybe he doesn't have that need to prove himself like maybe other 24-year-old kids might have, 25 now, I guess, year-old kids would have.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, he works so hard at the game and he's always trying to improve. And I know he's put time into that, just seeing the defenses even better than he saw them before. And quarterback's job's never done, so you can always work at it. It's a little bit like being a farmer, man. There's always work to do, and that's the way it'll be till he retires. So you can always better your game. And so I think just knowing the defense as well as he does now becomes an important thing for him. It'll be no more important than Sunday because of there's a top five defense in the National Football League, and they do a great job with their scheme.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, wanted to ask you about how you feel about your depth at corner now that both of your starters are going to be out on Sunday. And also, I wanted to ask you about Keys. Is there a chance that maybe he's active on Sunday?
Well, we'll see how all that works as far as the activations. I'll get with Brett here later today, and we'll talk through all that. But, our young guys have an opportunity to play, and that's I think it's a great thing. You know, they just need to do just that and just step up and enjoy that opportunity that they have to be in there and then execute and play good physical football.
Like we have two more. Let's go Nate and then Steve to close it out. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, I just wanted to ask you, since it became official earlier this week about Arrowhead becoming a polling place for November's election, just what does it mean for you that the organization was able to get this done? And what would your message be for Chiefs fans or just people in Jackson County who may have a better chance of getting through the voting process smoother or easier because you guys will have more polling stations than the average place would?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing. Plus, you get to see Arrowhead, right? So on top of all that, and I'd expect people to come out and take advantage of that. So I think when you look at the big picture of this, it's been a great job by our players, having something that they wanted to put their time and energy into. And I think that's important. I think doing is important. And so you're seeing that. And then the organization, Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan, supporting them in a full-fledged way. So they're all in with it. And that's the beauty of this whole thing when you look at it. And then it's not only good for the guys that are here, but it's good for the community. And most of all, that's the most important thing are the people. So having an opportunity. And this is an opportunity to vote, which ends up being an important thing here for them.
Let's go last to Steve Walls. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Andy. Sammy talked earlier this week about the importance of the guys having fun and actually liking each other. I'm wondering from you, with the years that you've spent coaching and the other teams that you've been around, has there been a team that's been had more fun than these guys, and how important is that for your success to go going forward?
Yeah, well, listen, I was blessed, excuse me, with Donovan McNabb for 12 years, and nobody had more fun than Donovan. So, but this crew here, they're beautiful that way. Collectively, they have a great time, and they roll. So, I mean, they enjoy being around. I think Sammy probably said it the best. They enjoy being around each other, and from a coach's standpoint, that's a great thing, especially a head coach. You know, you want that continuity within the locker room, and guys trusting and believing in each other, and these guys do that. So they've got that, and not always an easy thing to get. And I would tell you firsthand, so I don't slight anybody that I've had a chance to coach here. I mean, I've been blessed to have players that love playing the game, and whether it's here or Philadelphia, I've been very fortunate that way.
Coach, we really appreciate your time today.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. The big news out of that, Charvarius Ward out for Sunday's game against the Chargers. Also Colin Saunders and Alex Okafor. Those two, not a surprise.
A game-time decision, huh?
But yeah, it's not. Yeah, we should know going in what it's going to be. So Charvarius Ward, who remember had some sort of an operation on a fractured hand, not at least for this week ago. We'll have to keep an eye on that for the Ravens game the following week.
But I honestly think
that means your rookie's your number one corner.
Yeah, I think that's the best decision. They can beat the Chargers. They can beat the Chargers, sure, without Ward.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be harder to beat the Ravens without Ward, even if you don't like their wide receiver talent as much as some other teams. They do have talent there. And I think if you need one more week to be sure that Charvarius can play with that hand, you got
to
do it.
Let's go right back out to Arrowhead. Coleccio Simile, KO, speaking.
Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, KO, good to see you there. I'm curious, you've got a reputation as a brawler. You know, and Eric Bieniemy even yesterday said that he described you as a competitive prick. Do you view yourself that way? And do you take some pride in having that kind of reputation?
I wouldn't say I have pride in it, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm very competitive. I hate to lose at anything. I don't even like to lose at Madden. You know, I don't even like to lose if I'm walking next to my girlfriend and she's walking faster than me. So I'm pretty competitive.
Go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, KO, the quote that jumped out for me when you signed up with the Chiefs was that you could maybe learn some technique and things from guys like Fisher and Schwartz, but you were going to bring some attitude and some pizzazz to the line. Just how has that gone, you know, through the one game? Do you feel like you've maybe made the offensive line a little bit nastier as a whole?
I mean, I can't say that I've watched a lot of film on the offensive line play, like of the Chiefs specifically, because I'd be watching the other side of the ball, but it did feel like guys are out there trying to finish. We were flying around, and it's contagious. Like if you see a guy get a pancake, you want one too. It's just kind of like the nature of the game. Like we're all competitive. That's how we got to this level. So, yeah, I would say that it's catching on. We're playing pretty physical right now. We've only have one game under our belt, so we're just getting started, but I know that's why I play the game. It's what makes it fun for me personally. So I'm sure guys are going to catch on to that as well.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Coleccio, you mentioned in camp just the excitement that you had for the opportunity to play with Patrick, now having one game to go through it, obviously looking at the film of where both of you guys can be better. Just what was the feeling like on Thursday, and what maybe you may look forward to the rest of the season?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think we had a drive where, I don't know, I want to say we had like less than 40 seconds or something like that to score. We wanted to get some points before the half. And Fish looks at me in the huddle and he's like, watch this. And we were like pretty far back down there too. And we just drove it down the field, and the way he like managed the game, it was just like, I don't want to say effortless because we all know how hard he probably, you know, works off the field and studies, but it was pretty smooth. The operation is pretty smooth. It got up to the line smooth. Cadence was smooth. Like, it just clicked and it gelled and it was fast. And before you know it, we scored right before the half. So that was like the first thing I've seen. It's only been one game, but I'm pretty excited having to see that, like how fast he's capable of scoring. That was pretty cool to see.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Kelechi, just wanted to ask you, when the last time you felt this good in a game physically as you did the other night against Houston? And do you feel like this game was the true you? The Chiefs got a good look right off the bat and who you are as a player?
I mean, I personally didn't feel like I took any steps back ever in my career. I've been pretty consistent. I'm the same guy. I play with the same energy. I play with the same attitude and intensity. But, yeah, I felt pretty good. For week one, it was exciting to be back out there. I hadn't been out there since October, so I was a little backed up. So, yeah, it was just fun to hit somebody else wearing, you know, different colors. I was getting tired of hitting Chris every day. That was just annoying. You know, you can't fight your teammates, and that's what happens when two dudes like us go head-to-head. So it was just fun. It was a great relief to get out there and just do my thing. And I'm just excited to be playing football again with the great organization. And I'm excited to win a lot of football games. So I'm happy to be here, man.
Let's go next to Karen Kornacki. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Kale. I want to ask you a little bit about the Chargers defense. I know you faced the Texans, and they're tough with J.J. Watt. But now you got Joey Bosa, and Andy was just talking about them being one of the top five defenses in the league. What do you see when you see them, and how exciting is it to play? Does that raise your level?
Yeah, it's really exciting to play with a guy like Melvin Ingram and a guy like Joey Bosa. I think those are two really good football players. I've seen them over the years with when I was with the Raiders playing against them. So I've seen what they can do, the way that they can create pressure with a four-man front and allow guys to just kind of cover. Not a lot of teams can do that in the NFL. I definitely respect their game and respect their talent. Yeah, I guess you could say we are going to raise the bar in our protection and make sure we always have eyes on those two guys in particular. If we can get a guy that's free up and they're only rushing four, you better believe that we're going to be there for our tackles. So respect their game, but we think we have good players too, and it's going to be a fun matchup.
Like, we've got three hands up. Let's go Harold, Serena, and Matt. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, KO. I mean, it's apt initials you have, KO, and when you look at some of the film, you had a lot of wow moments out there. Did you kind of impress some of your other teammates because they didn't know what to expect from you being the first game under the lights with them as a unit? And also, how honored are you to be on a name with the competitive prick with Patrick Mahomes? Because there's only two guys, and you're one of them. How honored are you?
Yeah, I'm especially if that's true. If there's only two of us, I'm definitely honored by that. EB's a hardcore guy, and he takes his football seriously, so that's definitely an honor. In terms of what was your other question? I'm sorry.
Just how, you know, and you impressed your teammates. You had a lot of good pancakes out there. You really impressed them. Had a few wow moments.
I think that guys kind of know around the league, offensive line wise, my style of play and the way that I play. So like coming in. I know Wiley made a comment to me that he loves that. He loves my attitude and the way that I play. And he likes to play similarly. But other than that, I think we all think we're good players. Everybody respects everybody's game. We're all trying to help each other out there. Everybody's trying to learn from each other. And everybody wants to be physical. Everybody wants to finish. Everybody wants to be a good teammate. Everybody wants to be accountable. But like I said, that's just the way that I play. Not everybody plays like that. That's not everybody's style of play. But, yeah, I think we all respect each other's style of play.
Let's go with our last two. We'll go Seren and then Matt. Go ahead, Seren.
I'm curious what the reputation was of the Chiefs, what you knew of the Chiefs before you got here. And you know, when you're looking around the league and talking to other guys and, you know, what you thought it was. And then – how it's maybe been exactly that or the way it's been different.
From what I've seen and what I know coming in, I knew that this was an outfit that could score at will. They score a lot of points on offense, generally win a lot of games because of that. Walking into the indoor facility, I remember looking up and seeing all the AFC championship banners in there. And it's pretty consistent. So just seeing like a tradition of excellence. There's a standard here. Everybody follows. It's accountability. It's hard work. And you kind of see why they're so successful. Just the amount of work that goes into studying in order to be able to grasp a playbook of this complexity. And just the standard of how they practice, how we practice here. It's just at a very high level. And I'm sure, you know, we all work hard. We all prepare at a very high level in the NFL week in and week out. But being a part of this program, part of this organization, there's a certain bar that's been set. So it's nice to kind of be a part of that culture where every single person, whether you're a backup or a starter, is accountable to the work that they need to get done and to be able to play at a high level. So that's really cool to see.
That's everything when it comes to like between the lines. What does I mean? And maybe organizations have no reps, you know, as like all the off the field stuff and what it's like to be a part of that. Was there any part of that, or is that not really get talked around the league?
I mean, you don't really talk about it. I guess you do among players. We talk about it, but you know, we're not very, you know, we're not tweeting about it or talking to outside sources about what goes on behind closed doors, but. They do things right here, and it's great, and I like it. So,
go to Matt for the last one. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, KO, I'm curious. The Chiefs have a really close knit locker room with guys, you know, like to play basketball, video games, get together at guys' houses. But now that you're supposed to be keeping your distance and everything, and you got plexiglass everywhere and spread out. How have you been able to, as a new guy to the team, build some relationships? And what do you guys do this year to kind of bond together?
It's been a lot of Madden and Call of Duty. So just online video games and group chat, like just sending each other funny memes, basically. But we're here like 7 a.m. to like 6:30, 7 p.m. So we're together all the time. So, I mean, a lot of the times we need our own space, but when we don't, yeah, that's what we do. Just video games and group text, basically.
KO, we really appreciate
it. That's KO talking out at Arrowhead. Fun to hear from him, talking about his time in Kansas City. Clearly loves being in KC and loves the organization and what they have set up here in KC. Also, he's like, yeah, I don't take pride necessarily in being a competitive prick, but
I am one.
But I am one. And said he doesn't like to lose in Madden. He doesn't even like to walk slower than his girlfriend. Like, he makes sure that when they're walking next to each other, that he's still walking faster than she is. That's a competitor and on a personal level there as well. And I think it makes sense when you see how he plays, and when you see a lot of these guys, when they talk about how competitive they are away from the field as well, it makes all the sense in the world there. But fun to hear from KO, who, again, now we're all everybody's just calling him KO. That's how much things have changed in the last week or so with his play.
But he is right about his style of play. Like, he's like, hey, do you think, is this as good as you felt, or how long has it been since you felt this good? The answer to I've always felt this good is fairly accurate when he's on the field and healthy. The type of player Kelechi Osemele is has been well known in the league for a while. It's a pretty consistent player.
All right, let's head right back out there. Mike Dana speaking to the media.
Go ahead, Pete.
Mike, one thing that jumped out when you were drafted was just how excited Brendan Daly was to have you on the roster. And I'm curious how far you think your game has come in the short amount of time that you've been able to work with them, and maybe some examples of that.
Yeah, Coach Daly is a great coach. He's been through this process with me since day one, you know, whether it's teaching through the video format or doing on the field work, his teaching is always A1. And I've been able to adapt to his, you know, techniques and how he wants things did. And I think he's a great coach, and he's an even better individual off the field. So I got a lot of love, a lot of respect for him already. And I only been out here for like, what, about a month? So
let's go next to Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Mike, two questions here for you. When did you know, first off, last week that you would be active for the season opener? And what, you know, how did you prepare yourself for that debut? And then lastly, big Michigan present there on the defensive line, Taco Charlton, and then obviously Frank Clark. How much are you picking their brains as you go into your rookie year?
Well, for the first question, all I really did was just practice every day, come ready to practice every single day, you know, do what I was supposed to do and, you know, prepare the way I should have, you know. I knew it was like the first week of the season, season opener, and it was real big and highly anticipated. But, you know, I just came in, did what I had to do and do what I was asked to do. Then for like being with all the Michigan guys, yeah, of course I'm picking their brains. You know, they've been in the league for some time. They got some experience under their belt. So whatever game or food for thought they can give me, I'm always picking at them.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Mike, how would you describe your game? Like if you were to talk about, because, you know, you've kind of played a lot of positions, right, back in college. They've used the inside, outside. If you were to describe your game, how would you describe it?
I describe it as a versatile, physical football player. You know, I've lined up outside, inside, did some stand-up, drop back. So, you know, I'm all over the place in the front seven. So, you know, I say first things first, I want to be physical. Then, you know, I got a little finesse to me, so don't fall asleep on that.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Mike, I'm just curious, you know, what were your emotions on Thursday going out there for your first game? And in the fourth quarter, it looked like you were really getting close to Deshaun Watson a couple of times. What was it? What was going through your head while you're chasing him on an NFL field?
I was locked in. You know, I wasn't too nervous or, you know, too worried about what my responsibility was. I knew how I prepared. I knew how serious this was. And I knew that this was a platform where, you know, the margin for error is really slim. So, you know, I wanted to be out there, do what I had to do. And, you know, when my number was called, I wanted to give coach and my teammates everything I had on the field.
Looks like we've got one more hand up. Let's go to Matt McMullen to finish us off. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Mike. So when you were first drafted, what you talked about was when you transferred from Central Michigan to Michigan, it helped. You wanted to feel like what that the bigger step was. It would help your progression and get to the NFL. Did you feel like that helped you when you were out in the field on Thursday night? You feel like that jump helped you with the speed of the game at all?
Absolutely. You know, and I think one of the biggest part it helped me with was like adapting to the new environment, you know, being able to adapt when flying bullets are, you know, flying at you. And I think that one leap, you know, was able to give me a little bit of boost, you know, kind of know what to expect being in a new environment with new players and being with a new scheme. All that kind of made me feel comfortable. So when I took this step to the NFL, I was able to, you know, to take the proper precaution to do what I had to do.
That's Chiefs defensive lineman really Mike your time Dana speaking to the media out at Arrowhead here on your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, we wrap things up heading into the weekend. Also, Ben Heisler, SI Gambling. We'll see how we did and how we're going to do this weekend. We'll see if Cody gives me the respect or crap pretty much next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we start to wrap things up heading into the weekend. It's a Red Friday. Chiefs, Chargers coming up Sunday afternoon. And last Friday, I was talking how I was feeling good about the picks heading in the weekend. I feel good even today, Cody, because at least on our radio.com/picks, finished first out of the radio.com sports experts.
But you're always like pitch yourself as the gambling guy in this show. And I brought in a real expert last week for you to actually test yourself against. That's Ben Heisler of SI Gambling. And what happened is what I assumed would happen. You went 2-3 and he went 4-1, showing you that you should leave it to the real pros. The real pros.
Ben Heisler.
Can I ask you a question? The fact that Alex was leading the standings for the radio.com experts at 2-3.
Well,
what are we doing here, guys?
It's not against the spread there, man.
Those are straight up. Those are straight up, Heis.
Those are straight up.
I don't make the rules. Radio.com/picks. It's easy. See, that's what I've been telling our listeners. They can win $1,000 a week by picking straight up on radio.com. It's easy.
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're clearly doing better than all of you guys.
Hey, look, I'm not here to. I'm trying to save my money. I got other things going on.
Hey,
I just want Gold to be humbled a little bit for a few weeks during this NFL season.
It's really difficult because of the Survivor League success so far, too. Raiders and Browns, baby.
In 1 week.
Two.
He got the Raiders.
Survivor League success after week one, unless you're caring.
Browns last night. He's 2-0.
Raiders and Browns have been the two teams. I got the full arsenal still ahead of me. Still ahead of me. We're feeling good off of that.
I can't believe but, you went Raiders and Browns are two.
I did make the side bet with Heiss on Sunday. He texted me. He said, let's put some money on this thing. Of course, it was the Rams Cowboys game. And we know how that one went down. Thanks, OPI, not being called. Thank you very much.
That was offensive pass interference.
If we're really going to have any sort of semantics, I actually agree with Alex.
I just want to give him a hard time.
But no, Heiss was 4-1. Strong week for Heiss. 4-1. I was 2-3. So let's give it another go.
All right. I got five games for you, fellas. You can either give me the point spread or the totals and decide which. We're going to put you head to head. We'll move here quick. Baltimore and Houston first. Gold, you got to go first on this one.
Okay.
Baltimore's -7, the total at 50.
Yeah, we saw the Texans offense last week against the Chiefs defense. They score early on their second possession and then didn't do a damn thing really till late. And Kansas City was able to shut down the Texans offense. I love Baltimore in this game. I was not impressed whatsoever. I like Baltimore -7. Houston Texans, maybe they're going to be trying a little more aggressive defensively and not sit back as much with Lamar Jackson, but I don't care. I love Baltimore in this game, -7.
Heiss, who do you got?
This feels like a trap game for Baltimore. And I know that it's under sort of the major scope of the NFL, but you know who the Ravens are playing next week, right?
Yes, the Chiefs.
So all of a sudden, Houston comes out flat in the early game. They get a few extra days to prepare. Deshaun Watson wants to make a statement at home, regardless of whether there's fans there. I'm going to wait on this game because I still think we're going to actually see a little bit more movement in favor of the Ravens. Right now, you can get the Texans at +7. I will still take Texans +7 for the purposes of this show. But I think a little bit later on, if you hold off, if you're patient, you might be able to get Houston at +7.5.
Next up, New England at Seattle. Heiss, I'll let you go first this time. Seattle's currently a 4-point favorite. This is the first time New England has been not favored in a game in like 65 straight games, or the total at 45. Which way are you going?
I want to believe in what I'm seeing from Cam Newton. I like that they're actually embracing who he is in New England. They're letting him run it, and right now he's healthy, so I think New England will come in prepared. I like the fact that I can get 4 points from them. Yes, it's difficult to play in Seattle, but you're not dealing with the 12th man. I will take New England plus the points on the road this week against Seattle.
I'm going two favorites back-to-back, I guess, to start
Look
things off
this.
Here. I like Seattle.
Different
so we're different. This is good. We have not talked at all. So Seattle -4 at home. I didn't think the Patriots looked as good as everyone else said. It was against Miami Dolphins team. Yes, Cam Newton on the ground. We know the style of play that they're going to have to do. Can they do that against Seattle? And did anybody play better than Russell Wilson last week other than maybe Aaron Rodgers? Really impressed with Seattle. I like them -4 at home.
I feel like you should feel bad. You went 2-3 last week, and you're already different on the first two bets. Maybe we'll get some similarities here. Heiss, we'll go Ben first, but Minnesota to Indianapolis. I like this one because it's kind of interesting because the Vikings defense was miserable. The Colts are a 3-point favorite, total at 48.5. Which way are you going to go, Gold?
I'm going to take the over. I'm actually going to go ahead and take the over on that 48.5. We saw Minnesota put up a bunch of points against Green Bay. Now, a lot of it was in garbage time, but they're okay with Kirk Cousins chucking around the football, and they still have a very solid running game. Jacksonville was able to control a lot of sides of the ball against Indianapolis last week. And conversely, Phillip Rivers, despite what people thought it was going to be sort of a game manager role with the Colts, he still threw about 46 times for 376 yards. So I think that's going to be one of the higher scoring games of the week. I will take the over at 48.5, and actually a sneaky snack, or a snack, but also a snack yeah. in daily fantasy. Phillip Rivers, T.Y. Hilton, and Paris Campbell, with everybody Ooh. Pivoting in the other direction. Everybody loves Jonathan Taylor this week. I think the Colts are going to throw.
I like it. By the way, I think I was supposed to go first there, so I just want to make that clear because I also have the over 48.5.
Sure you do.
I do. I have it written down. Over 40.5. I'm in agreement with you. I think we're going to see plenty of points on Indianapolis. I also like the Colts to win this game, too, against Minneapolis as well. What's next? What else we got?
We'll let you go first on this one, Gold, since you jumped the last one. San Francisco at the New York Jets. The Niners, a 7-point favorite. The Jets have no one left on the field, and the total at 41.5. I'm just assuming you're going San Francisco, but I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, I mean, you saw me in the middle of the show at one point, like focused in. I told you I pulled out the debit card. I was adding some more money to the betting account. Yeah, that was for the Niners game. San Francisco -7. I love it here. The Jets are absolute trash. I don't feel like I need to give you a long example why. You can say it's a trap. I don't know. Maybe that's where Heiss is going to head here, but San Francisco -7.
No, there's no trap in this game because the 49ers are going to hang around the tri-state area and play the Giants next week. Jets are a mess. Le'Veon Bell on injured reserve. Their number one wide receiver, Jamison Crowder, just went on IR. And they just look like a team in complete and total disarray. Conversely, with the 49ers, they should win fairly easily, but they're dealing with a bunch of injuries as well. Deebo Samuel is on injured reserve. George Kittle dealing with an injury. Brandon Ayuk, their wide receiver that they took, I believe, in the second round this year. He's currently potentially questionable for this game. So it's going to be a lot of running, a lot of Raheem Mostert, a lot of Tevin Coleman. And the Jets run the slowest offense in the league. So I'm taking another underplay, guys. Give me the under 41.5. And actually, if you go to si.com/gambling moments in just a little bit, you will find that that will be my best bet of the week. Oof. I got it at 42.5, but I will still take it at 41.5. There's just going to be very little points scored. And if points are going to be scored, it's going to come on the 49ers side. Under 41.5 for me.
Last one could be the tiebreaker. We don't know. Let Heist go first on this one. What a little Jacksonville and Tennessee, mostly because Tennessee is a 7.5 point favorite. Jacksonville won their game last week, or a total at 44. You got a certain way you're leaning on this one, Heiss.
Well, all right. So I'm only getting, in this particular scenario, I'm only getting Jacksonville at +7.5.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I know the line opened at 11. I know that, but it's down to 7.5 in some places. You good with that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of sharp movement in favor of Jacksonville, and I do think they're going to hang around in this game. 7.5, that's getting to that close point, because Tennessee, they've had a lot of really good success lately against Jacksonville. But A.J. Brown likely out for this game, so it might be another more of the Derrick Henry and Corey Davis show. But Jacksonville's going to hang around. Gardner Minshew, DJ Chark, and James Robinson actually make up for a halfway decent combination. So I think if Tennessee continues to run the ball as much as they do, that allows Jacksonville to hang in this game as well. I'll lean with the underdog once again in a divisional matchup. I will take Jacksonville at +7.5.
It's another one of those rare ones where we're in agreement here. I have Jacksonville +7.5 as well. I was not impressed by Tennessee at all. I'm down on the Titans to begin with heading into this season. Ryan Tannehill, to me, still looked more like the old Tannehill in week one against a banged-up Broncos defense. I'm in agreement on that one. Jacksonville +7.5.
Heisler, looking forward to you going 4-1 again this week. That'd make you 8-2 when Gold is sitting in here at 4-6 next week. I'll give you a little chance to gloat some more. As a matter of fact, maybe you'll be my next rap participant, as we can get you involved in a trash talking,
oh boy,
you know, rap version of a song to go. If this keeps going this way this season, you can expect it by about week 7.
I mean, the previous recipient was a Super Bowl winner and an MVP. If I can go 80% against the spread, I think it's within comparison.
It seems fair. It seems only reasonable. Patrick Mahomes wins 80% of his games. You're winning 80% of yours if you go 4-1 again this week.
Ben Heisler.
I look forward to the rap song. I'll see you guys.
SI Gambling. Appreciate it as always. We'll see how all that goes. I'm sure I'll get a text from him Sunday morning. Said, hey, let's put a little side.
Let's
leave the bookies out of this. Let's leave the juice. We don't want to deal with that. Let's just make our own bets together. I think that's where we're headed. But yeah, this week we're in agreement on a couple of them, though. And a couple of them. Yeah, Jacksonville, I do think
there's
it's
enough
closer.
Different, though. I think Rob is
going to have to sweat his Titans Survivor League pick a little bit against the Jags. Jags aren't going to win, but I think he'll have to sweat a little bit more than he thinks.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We got what? 2 days? Is it, what time is it? Not quite 3?
Yeah.
About 48 hours before the Chiefs take on the Chargers. We've talked a lot about what entails in this game. We actually have to make picks, fellas. We actually have to make picks. I'll go first. I think you went first last week. I don't want, you know, like our numbers ended up being pretty similar last week, so it turned out. I think the Chiefs, in the end, the more I look at the Chargers, and I don't know if Joey Bosa is even going to be 100% going into this game if he's dealing with a triceps injury, and the Chiefs' offensive line is enough to distract him if it's not that case, plus they can just do whatever the hell they want offensively. I'll take the Chiefs 38-24. Chargers get some late touchdowns again. So what? Who cares? Chiefs win by double digits.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit lower scoring than I had last week. I think last week I was 38-30, I believe is what the score. I'm going to go, the Chiefs won't score as much, and you say, what are you talking about? They're playing a Chargers defense, a team that's not going to be able to score much, so the Chiefs should get the ball back quickly and all that. Yeah, but the Chargers defense is a little bit better. I think also, going back to your point, you think they're going to be vanilla. I hate using the word vanilla for the Chiefs offense here, but I do think they lay off the gas yet again. I'll go Kansas City 31-21 over the Chargers. So 10 point, that'll actually cover the 9-point spread in this one as well. 31-21 Chiefs.
Yeah, but even when the Chiefs don't try that hard, they can still score 35 points. I think they're going to win 35-10.
To 10?
Okay. The Chargers can't score.
They did only score 16 points against that Bengals defense, which did not look very good last night, I have to admit. So we all have it as a blowout. We all just think it's a blowout on Sunday before we get the real dessert at the end of this, which is the week 3 matchup against the Ravens. I'll think a blowout this week if it means a particularly good matchup a week from now. I just don't know what the Chargers do way better than the Chiefs. Anything? Are they a way better defensive team? Last year's entire statistical run would tell you no.
Have a deeper secondary.
I think the question, if this thing
Fine.
Is closer
okay.
than
Okay, and there is no Charvarius Ward. If you missed that earlier, Charvarius Ward is officially out for this game on Sunday. So Legarius Sneed is the number one corner. So you're right. They are deeper at that position, but they don't still play defense better than the Chiefs based on last year's numbers.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say where I was headed with that was Charvarius Ward. Like, if there's a way that this game's closer than what we believe it's going to be, 10 points for me, or more than that for Serta as well, then it's going to be struggles in the secondary for Kansas City. Legarius Sneed looked really good to open things up against the Texans, but now he's your number one corner. I'm higher on Rashad Fenton having a better season than a year ago, getting more opportunities. Well, here you go. Here you go, Rashad Fenton. Here's your opportunity to be in the number two corner, it looks like, for Kansas City this weekend. And so that'll still be the area that'll be very interesting. And do we see some better play from the linebackers? Does that include Willie Gay Jr. on Sunday going up against some athletic running backs that are going to hopefully, in the Chargers case, they hope to be involved in the passing game, and Eckler and Kelly. So a little bit different look offensively. Tyrod Taylor doesn't concern me. Now, he's not going to turn the ball over as much as Phillip Rivers has in the meetings, but I'm looking forward to this one in the afternoon, but more excited also for some of the games after the Chiefs too, because I think the Chiefs will cruise and then we get a little Sunday Night Football, which is going to be fantastic between New England and Seattle.
The final word.
One more food thing before we end here on a Friday.
Mister, no
did
whip,
you know
no whipped cream?
Did you know that Taco Bell Canada has a new jalapeno noir, as in a Pinot Noir flavorful? It is a Taco Bell Pinot Noir, jalapeno noir, that they
You're
claim
noir,
pairs
like...
perfectly with a 6-month-aged cheddar toasted cheesy chalupa. They're saying it pairs perfectly with their food. You want some Pinot? You want a little Pinot?
Not from there.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because it's got the Taco Bell label. You know, this is like Demolition Man coming to
I've
reality.
Been to the Burger King bar at Power and Light.
Yeah, I've been there as well.
See, yeah. So what's the difference? You're not going to have some.
What's up with all these restaurants? Earlier this week, when you were gone, Cody, we talked about Mountain Dew has a Mountain Dew Gorita at Applebee's now. It's a margarita, but it's Mountain Dew.
You drink it. Think about how much Mountain Dew you probably drank in your youth.
All right, I mentioned when I was playing video games and nerding out back when I was 12. Yeah. 13-year-old Mountain Dew.
This is the adult version. Relive your world in a cycle, Gold.
All right, fun stuff. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We'll have a Red Monday, of course, coming up after hopefully another Chiefs win. A 2-0 start to the season, getting set for the Ravens come Monday. Up next, though, we hand things off to The Drive.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.